Well, thanks again for having me. I appreciate you inviting me and listening to me. And so I'm in a series about suffering, and last week hopefully brought a blessing about suffering that occurs because of sins, because of mistakes that we make, because of things that we've done wrong. But we know that not all suffering comes because of things that we've done wrong, and we know that all of us suffer because of things that we had no control over. We suffer for things that we have nothing to repent for. This was not known by people in Jesus' day. Anytime anybody suffered, when Jesus was on the earth, it was just assumed that it was because they had done something wrong. It was because God was showing them disfavor because of sin in their life. So that in John chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples approach a blind man, and it says, as he went along, he saw a man, he is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That's a question I would never ask in front of a blind man today. It would come across as very rude. What did you do wrong? Repent, man. But this was very normal. This is a question that this man had probably, this blind man had probably heard his whole life. What did you do wrong? Why are you blind? Or what did your parents do wrong that brought this on you? And Jesus gave a revolutionary answer. He said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." And so Jesus is acknowledging here and teaching his disciples that not all of our suffering comes because of things that we did wrong. I encourage you to read this story. It covers the whole chapter of John 9. I'm not going to dwell on it today. It would be a whole sermon in itself, and I love this story. But in the Bible, there's a story about Jesus' disciples getting on a boat. Actually, Jesus got on the boat first, and his disciples followed him, which is a good thing. His disciples should follow him. That's what a disciple does. They follow somebody. So they did nothing wrong there. Jesus gets on the boat. His disciples follow them. I would like to say as a preacher, you know, if you just follow Jesus, then everything's going to be okay. If you just follow Jesus, then you're not going to have any suffering or any hardships. And then I could go to the story and use the boat as like a metaphor for your dreams. Unless your dream is to own a boat, and then it's not a metaphor. It's an actual, there it is, you know, just follow Jesus and you'll be on your boat. And everything would be great. But then I would have to pick a different story, because in this story, the disciples follow Jesus onto a boat. They did what the red letters say, you know, the red letters in your Bible, get on this boat. And they did. They did what they were supposed to do. And then a storm came. And it wasn't a small storm. The Bible says a furious storm, this is in Matthew, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. And Luke says the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. And Mark says a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And so you get the idea. This is a very dangerous situation that these disciples are in. And I'm tempted to re-examine the story and see, well, surely Jesus gave the disciples a warning about this storm and they didn't heed the warning, or you know, they went the wrong way and that's why the storms came. But Matthew says, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. And I think we've all been there, that without warning, we're just following Jesus. We're just doing what we're supposed to do, and a furious storm comes into our life. Usually when storms come into my life, my first assumption, like the disciples, when they approached that blind man in John chapter 9, my first assumption when storms come into my life is that I must have done something wrong. If I get a job and it turns out to be unpleasant, a very unpleasant experience, I think, well, I must not have listened to God. God obviously did not want me to take this job. Or if I befriend somebody hoping to bring them to Christ and they just abuse me and leave me worse off than I was before I met them, you know, my first assumption might be, well, Jesus never intended me to befriend this person. I did something wrong. And that's just a human nature thing, but sometimes we see that storms come without warning when we're doing what we're supposed to do, when we're following Jesus. Jesus, though, wasn't afraid. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So Jesus and I have something in common, and that is that huge storms are great sleeping weather for me and Jesus. But I would like for Jesus to be awake during those huge storms. If I'm experiencing a huge storm in my life and I see that Jesus is sleeping, I think I would say, Jesus, I understand that storms are going to come in my life and I'm willing to deal with them. I'm willing even to die. But don't you want to at least be awake to see my last moments of life? Don't you at least want to be awake to observe it? And that's what the disciples, that was their reaction too. So the disciples ran to Jesus. They said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And isn't that a prayer that sometimes we are tempted to pray? God, I'm going through this storm. Don't you care? Are you asleep right now? I'm drowning. Does it matter to you? But what Jesus did next must have impacted them in some way, because later on, several chapters later, in Matthew, it's I think 7 or 8 chapters later, another storm comes. And Jesus tells the disciples again, get on a boat, and they did. I would have said, wait, Jesus, several chapters ago, I got on a boat, and I almost died, and you slept through it. But the disciples, they got on the boat again, and we have this ridiculous passage of Scripture that during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So that's later, and I'll get back to that. But back to the first storm, Jesus replied, he's just been woken up, you know, and Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? And he replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? And the disciples didn't answer, apparently. I would have made a quizzical look, like, why am I afraid? You know, we're in a hurricane here in the middle of a lake, and you're asleep. But they didn't answer, because the next thing we read is, then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And I've often wondered, why was Jesus upset with the disciples? Because doesn't Jesus want us to appeal to him during storms of our life? Doesn't he want us to come and wake him up and say, Jesus, there's a storm going on in my life? And I think it must be something besides he's groggy in the mornings when he wakes up. There's got to be something that upset Jesus here. And I think that what it is the disciples had no idea that Jesus had authority over the storm. The disciples, when they woke him up, they said, we are going to drown. Don't you care? At the end of the story, after this, the next verse of Matthew says that the disciples were terrified and said, who is this man that can even command the winds and the waves and they obey him? The disciples had no idea that Jesus had that authority. And I think that Jesus would like us to come to him during storms of our life with the acknowledgement that, Jesus, you could stop this storm anytime you tell it to stop. Now, I'm going to go back to the second storm. The disciples were not happy to see Jesus walking towards them on the lake, because naturally they didn't know that it was Jesus, because once again, they didn't know that Jesus had this authority to do things like this. And so the Bible says they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. And then Jesus says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And all through Scripture, we have these passages about don't be afraid and don't worry and just seek God and don't worry and don't be afraid. And doesn't that sometimes seem absurd? I often just say in my mind, you know, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, but it just doesn't make any sense to not be afraid right now. Because the way God works sometimes is so absurd that we're just not used to it. And the disciples were terrified. And Jesus just expects them, don't be afraid. And then Peter says something absolutely absurd. I would have said, if I were Peter, I would have said, okay, if it's you, Jesus, do you remember several chapters ago when there was a storm and you said, hey, storm, stop, and it did. Could you please do that again? That's what I would have done. Peter didn't do that. I don't know if it's because he's stupid or if it's because maybe he knows that being near Jesus is more important than being comfortable. But Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And of course, Jesus says, come. And Peter is probably thinking, oh, man, that didn't go as planned. But Peter is a very brave man. So the Bible says this is one of the most amazing sentences in all of Scripture. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. And I've heard sermons about this story about, you know, that Peter looked away from Jesus and started to sink, and we don't need to look away from Jesus because when we look away from Jesus, we start to sink, and that's all true. But I want to focus on this amazing thing here. Peter walked on water. Isn't that incredible? That Peter walked on water, at least for a couple of steps. Peter was on top of the water. And this time, they weren't terrified. Peter and Jesus get back on the boat, and the Bible says, then those who were on the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The disciples had been through two storms in the course of several chapters of Scripture, and in one of the storms, Jesus stopped it. Jesus said, storm, that's enough, and the storm ended. In the other storm, Jesus didn't stop it. I don't know how God decides whether to stop the storms in our lives. I don't know. I wish I could figure out that, okay, if the situation is X, then God's going to do Y. I can't figure that out. I don't know how God works. But what I do know is that sometimes God completely stops our storms and says, that's enough, and the storm is gone. And sometimes God decides, I'm not going to stop this storm, but I'm going to give you the incredible, absurd, miraculous strength to walk right on top of it. And either way, in both storms, in the one that God stopped and in the one that God didn't stop but allowed Peter to walk on top of it, in both storms, the disciples ended up on the other side of the lake. And what I do know is that when you are on lake life, I know two things are going to happen. I know that storms are going to come. That's the first thing I know that's going to happen. And the second thing I know that's going to happen is that through the miraculous power of God, you'll end up on the other side of the lake. Because either he'll stop the storm or he'll give you the strength to walk right on top of it. I want to read some of Romans 8, just kind of as a benediction for us this morning. Let me see something. And I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to read it straight through, and I think I'm going to focus more on Romans 8 next week. But Romans 8 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you are in the middle of a lake and there's storms coming and you've just done exactly what you're supposed to do, you're just following Jesus, then be blessed and know that Jesus will either stop that storm or give you the strength to walk on top of it, and you will end up on the other side of the lake. Thank you.